This is the Comics Alternative, episode 208, a look at the October previews catalog. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Comics Alternative. I'm Derek.
And I'm Andy, and we're two guys with PhDs talking about comics.
And on this episode, Andy and I go through the October previews catalog, talking about various upcoming titles. But before we get into that discussion, we want to let all of you know that this episode of the Comics Alternative is brought to you by the great folks at Discount Comic Book Service. Go to their website, dcbservice.com, for all of your comics pre-ordering needs. There, you're going to find all DC, Marvel, Image, and Dark Horse titles at 40% off of the cover price if you pre-order. For all of the other publishers, you'll find that those discounts are anywhere from 20 to 35% off the cover price. And every single month, you're going to find some unbelievable specials. Sometimes those specials can be as high as 45% off the cover price, sometimes 50% off cover. But you know, every now and again, you can find discounts that are more impressive than that.
That's right, and since this is our previews episode, you can count on the fact that many of the things we talk about will be deeply discounted in the month of October on DCB Service.
That's right. You can always find great specials on the comics that Andy and I highlight on the preview show, but on many other things as well. So check out what they have on special for October. Go to dcbservice.com. They'll take care of all of your comics pre-ordering needs. And after you do get your comics there, please do send them an email and tell them that the two guys with PhDs sent you.
That's right.
Well, Andy, before we get into a discussion of what's in the October previews catalog, we have some news from the Patreon front.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes, we have a brand new podcast patron, and that is Scott Buffus. He has contacted us before. He is one of the creators behind the comic, self-published comic, Esoteric Dialogue. And you can check out what he does at www.twotonecomics.com. That's twotonecomix.com. So, yeah, welcome aboard, Scott. You're now an official podcast patron of the Comics Alternative, and your name is now proudly listed among the other podcast patrons. And to become an official podcast patron of ours, you support us for at least $5 a month. And maybe we should go through and remind our listeners of others who are also podcast patrons, because we do that every now and again. So joining Scott, or Scott joins the likes of Nick Prolix, Christopher Baird, Pratheek Thomas, Art Bowser, Daniel White, Christopher Michael, Sal Goodsam, Michael Norhale, Tom Matthews, Don Witzel, Simon Brilsby, David Campbell, and Raider Koshnick.
That's great.
Yes.
That's a nice crowd.
It is. And it's crowd with discriminating comics taste.
Yep.
But you know, we get patrons at all levels. And as we've said many times before, people can support the Comics Alternative on Patreon for just a buck. And we do have a number of people who do that. And in fact, minutes before turning on the mic for today's recording, I got notification that Mike McLarty is supporting us for $1 a month. And then right after that, I noticed that on Twitter, he announced to everyone that he's connected with that he is supporting us and encouraged others to do the same.
That's great. Thanks.
So much thanks to Mike for being a new podcast, patron of ours at the $1 level. And again, thank you, Scott Buffus, for being an official podcast patron.
Yep. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more about our Patreon campaign, then just go to www.patreon.com/comicsalternative.
Yep, and every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm. Now, Andy, you've got some things going on in your life in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so we're at the beginning of October now, and so this goes up on Wednesday, this episode goes up on Wednesday, will be a week out from me heading to Columbus, Ohio for the Cartoons Crossroads Columbus event, which contains as part of it on Thursday and Friday, the 13th and 14th, an academic conference, which I will be participating in. I will be talking about autobiographical comics. But this conference is titled Cannon Fodder, and it's run by Jared Gardner, and he solicited papers that challenge the comics canon. And you and I have participated in conversations about this a number of times at HeroesCon.
Oh, yeah.
In Charlotte. But I wanted to specifically do something with some of the research I'd been doing on autobiographical comics for the book I've talked about on several occasions. And so I'm looking at Golden Age comics like Scribbly and Inky that have autobiographical elements to them. So that conference should be fun, but the full week, almost a full week, 5 days basically of festival events is all that's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I wish that I could go. It was just too close to Small Press Expo for me.
Oh, sure, yeah, and I think yeah, those are issues with the whole con season. But if any of our listeners are going to be there, you know, please signal me or give me the high sign, and I will acknowledge you as well.
Yeah, get in touch with Andy and let him know you're going to be there, and you guys can get together. And Andy will buy you a cup of coffee.
Very likely, yeah. That's entirely possible.
Yeah. So, well, good luck with that, and let us know on the other side of that event how it went.
Yeah. I'm hoping to talk to some people. I don't know if I'm going to bring recording equipment. I don't know. I'm not as good at getting interviews at stuff like this as you are. So I don't know how many interviews I might get, but I'll bring recording equipment nonetheless and maybe have some, I don't know, late night conversations at the hotel bar with some of our friends.
Oh, that'd be great. So, Andy, are you ready to get into the October previews catalog?
Yeah, let's do it.
And, you know, you and I were chit-chatting right before we turned the mics on about how this seems like, I guess, a relatively thin month in previews.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, since these are the books that are coming out in December, that, you know, we might be having the, you know, the last Christmas push for some of these things, but that doesn't look like it's the case.
Yeah, I think because a lot of the books, you know, the archival collections, the trades, and original graphic novels, you know, those are going to be those that are listed in the October's previews catalog will actually be coming out after January 1st of next year. So I think that's one of the reasons why things seem a little thin, because we're already starting to see now in previews the post-holiday rush, the kind of slight slump that we have.
Yeah, I always think of the post-holidays, especially with comics, might think of them as not so much as a slump, because, you know, for me anyway, my relatives, for example, always go the easy way out and lay out Amazon gift cards rather than actually trying to get something that's that I like. Mm-hmm. and I appreciate that. I appreciate any gift. I don't need anything, so any gift is is appreciated. But it's usually then in January that I'm shelling out for books that I'm looking for, you know? So, I wonder if the comics world ever thinks of a January or, you know, late December, early January rush of people spending their Amazon or local comic shop gift certificates.
I don't know. That is a good point, though. But for whatever reasons, I just got the feel from after looking at this month's catalog, there's just not as much there.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so let's begin talking about what's in the catalog with the first section, Dark Horse. And where do you begin in Dark Horse?
I started on page 47.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Me too.
Yeah. And so on page 47 is a new miniseries by John Arcudi called Dead Inside, with art by Tony Fajula, who drew The Veil with Greg Rucka. And this looks like an interesting crime story that takes place within a jail where we're the dead inside meaning prison, crimes committed inside county jails, I should say, make the distinction here between jails and prisons. Mm-hmm. That the main character is a detective named Linda Caruso, whose job it is to investigate crimes that take place in these jails. And normally, as the solicit says, these are pretty straightforward crimes because you've got a limited number of suspects in an enclosed space that they can't get out of. But she runs into a crime that is a bit more difficult to solve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that this sounds like something that we should definitely discuss on the show, although too bad that this first issue is coming out in late December. We have a two-episode special planned of recent crime comics, and this would fit into that perfectly. But we're not going to be doing the shows in December, so it won't make that cut.
Yeah, but maybe we could do a follow-up. This is a five-issue miniseries, so it's going to be a self-contained story in that respect. Mm-hmm. We often talk about how solicits give you a comparison between this. If you like this, you'll like this. And this one, I would have to say, this one seems to throw everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's crime related on television.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, it says perfect for fans of crime and prison television, such as, okay, guys, get ready, Law and Order, NCIS, Orange is the New Black, American Crime Story, or Making a Murderer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they might as well have thrown in Jinx, The Wire, and I don't know what else.
Yeah.
Adam 12, Dragnet.
Car 54, where are you?
Yeah, there we go. Barney Miller.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but anyway, not to take anything away from what actually looks like an interesting series with a nice kind of high concept that sets it up as being different maybe from what we've seen in other crime stories. And there's a lot of crime comics out there, is the fact that we're devoting two episodes to the genre indicates.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we may have teased this before on a previous episode or two that you and I have been thinking about this for a while. We did this, I guess, about 3 years ago, a little more than 3 years ago, where we did a two-part series of, at the time, recent crime comics. I think this was in 2013 that we did this. And so we wanted to do something like that again because we noticed about a month or two ago that there were a lot of crime comics that were being solicited. Plus, we love crime comics. So, you know, like a perfect storm, we decided, I think we're going to be, we had talked about doing both episodes in October, but maybe now with the publication schedule, we may do one episode in October and another one in November.
Yeah. I hope. Whatever the case, I'm looking forward to that because there's a lot of interesting crime comics coming out, but it seems like from what we're getting in this catalog as well, starting with Dead Inside, that's a genre that's continuing to be a significant part of comics publishing right now.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad about that.
Yep.
So where do you go next in Dark Horse?
I just make a quick stop at 54. Okay. I don't know if you do anything before that.
No.
I just wanted to mention this He-Man and the Masters of the Universe newspaper comic strips collection, because I never heard of this. I don't remember there being a Masters of the Universe newspaper comic, but it says in the solicit that it ran for 4 years, but not in very many newspapers.
Yeah, I didn't know about this either.
Yeah, and so this is collecting what looks like all of it. It's 500 pages for $30, so it's probably a nice deal. I'm curious to at least look at that. I'm not a huge Masters of the Universe fan, but I am kind of a fan of the sort of comic strip like this that does especially in that period in the late 80s where comic strips were on the way out, what some things were being done to try to maintain the comic strip's viability.
Yeah, you know, I remember vaguely the whole Masters of the Universe thing back in the 1980s, but I was very disconnected from it. I just remember hearing about it.
Yeah, well, you would have been in your mid-20s, right? So
yeah, I was in, you know, I'd started college in the early 80s.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, and
didn't
when
play
this
with
came
those
out,
figures.
Yeah, when this came out in 89, I would have been in the midst of my college career as well. And so, but, you know, I did know kids younger than me who were into Masters of the Universe, and my brother-in-law, for example, had all those.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so I guess what you would call I'm He-Man adjacent. wasn't a fan myself, but you know, was around people who were.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we go to that next page, 55, yep, then we have something that we talked about not too long ago, and this is Angel Catbird Volume 2, and this volume is subtitled To Castle Catula. And we had mentioned a few episodes back when we looked at the first volume of Angel Catbird that we didn't have that long to wait until Volume 2. Well, Volume 2 is going to be out on February 14th.
And yeah, that's good.
And this is another hardcover.
Yeah, they're hardcovers, but they're really reasonably priced. I mean, $15 for a hardcover is nothing to sneeze at.
Right, and you can get discounts on that from our sponsor, Discount Comic Book Service.
Yeah, and the one page that we get from it, I like this. There's it just highlights not an action scene really, but a discussion amongst the heroes of our story, specifically focusing on Count Catula about why he wouldn't bite Muroid the Rat Man, because then that would make him part rat, and he would then be a vampire rat man, or he would make Muroid a rat man. Yeah. That's it. That's what it would be. So he would risk becoming part rat, and then he would also risk creating a vampire rat man through Muroid. So I get the logic of that. That tracks.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, if we go to the next page, 56, there's something here that I don't know if I'll get, but it caught my attention, and this is We'll Save the Galaxy for Food.
Yep.
And this is by Yahtzee Croshaw, and I didn't know who that was. I had to look him up. Apparently he's a British comedian.
Hmm.
Do you know who he is?
No. No.
Okay.
Now, is this prose? Because it doesn't list an artist.
That's a good point. I was just looking because it says that E.M. Gist does the cover, but it doesn't say anything about the interior. Huh. Well, that would be weird. And if it is, you would think that it would list that this is a prose work or it's not comics. But I don't see anything about that in the solicit unless I'm really overlooking something.
No, I don't see it either.
Okay, well, maybe, you know, titles notable other than that, though.
Okay.
I go next to page 60. Do you have anything before that?
No, go ahead. I'll let you run with that one since that's right up your alley.
Yeah, this is a new adaptation of Melville's Moby Dick, and this is by the French creator Christophe Chabutet. I guess that's how you pronounce the name. But it says, a masterful adaptation of the timeless literary classic, faithfully and beautifully rendered by an award-winning artist. That's the way they put it. In striking black and white illustrations, Chabutet retells the story of the great American novel in which Captain Ahab strikes out on a voyage obsessively seeking revenge on the great white whale that took his leg. And the aforementioned John Arcudi does the foreword to this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
I like how the headline for this solicit is "The Great American Novel, Now a Graphic Novel," as opposed to all the, I mean, how many other adaptations are there of Moby Dick? There's tons of them.
Right, there are quite a number. you know, including one by, you know, our boy Will Eisner,
Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah.
And then if you count, you know, the like Marvel Classics version and the,
that's right.
And the
Classics Illustrated, of
Classics
course.
Classics Illustrated. And then there's the one, and now I'm blanking on the artist who did it, who did one page a day or something.
Oh, that's like right. That? Yeah. It's something similar to the one by a different creator who did the Gravity's Rainbow.
Yeah.
Where one illustration is one page of the novel.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm curious about this, and you're right that you know, the heading there is kind of dicky. it says now a graphic novel. And also the thing about this that caught my attention, I mean, I'm gonna get this and read it, but there's no dash in the title. It's Moby space Dick. And for readers of Moby Dick, you know, and this, okay, some people may think I'm nitpicking here. The title is Moby-Dick. The creature, the whale, is Moby Dick, two words without any dash. Mm. So they didn't even get the title right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the literary nerd equivalent of Spider-Man not being hyphenated, right?
I guess
being
to a point, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. It is. But, you know, it's to me, it's akin to, you know, adaptation and otherwise, when people list the title of Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It is not The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It is Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Do it and do it correctly. Just like Moby Dick, you use a dash or a hyphen. Yeah.
Well, now, you know, I'm marking that. I keep a list of things to do to bug Derek. And so now I'm doing that, much like, you know, I'm like, much like Hillary Clinton has that list for Donald Trump to, you know, call him Donald, mention Miss Universe.
Yeah.
Bring up Rosie O'Donnell.
3:30 this morning. I'm going to be on Twitter.
It's the. Oh, yeah.
And who knows Melville? It's the dash. You left out the dash.
That's a great dash. It's a fabulous dash. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Enough. Okay.
So there's our political moment out of the way. And until the November elections, you expect this, guys, okay?
Yeah, I know. And we've had some people write to us and say, why you have to engage in politics? But, you know.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay, I go to 66.
Yep, me too.
Next, yeah, and this is probably something right up your alley as well, right? Shadows on the Grave, an 8-issue miniseries by Richard Corbin.
Yeah, and so this is you know, going to be similar to some of the other things he's been doing. I guess over the past several years, along with and then in addition to the Poe adaptations and the Lovecraft adaptations he's done. So, I mean, even when he's not adapting, his horror has the same type feel as those kind of writers. And so this looks like something similar we have going on here. And in fact, the sample art on pages 66 and 67 look really good.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, Corbin is amazing. I mean, how old is he?
Oh, I don't know how old he is, but he's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, and his work is at, you know, he's at the top of his game. Mm-hmm. So and this continues the story, it says, of his new warrior character named Danaeus, who, as it says, is reminiscent of his creation Den, who appeared in Heavy Metal magazine as well as in the Heavy Metal movie. For those who are familiar with that.
Boy, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Nope. I haven't seen it since college.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess this is the first thing he's done since Rat God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So too bad this couldn't have come out by Halloween of this year, but you know, anytime we get Richard Corbin is a good time.
Yeah, and 8 issues is, mm-hmm. that's substantial, as a lot of this stuff is normally like, what, 3 issues or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then thematically, something along those lines is on page 69. I don't know if you have anything before that.
I don't have anything else in Dark Horse, so go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and this is the trade of Weird Detective, which we've talked about on the show before. This is Weird Detective, The Stars Are All Wrong. Written by Fred Van Lente with art by Guy Villanova. So, Guy Villanova. And I really like the first couple of issues of Weird Detective. I kind of let it go, but maybe I was, without thinking about it, trade waiting. Mm-hmm. But I guess now I am trade waiting. But I really liked those first two issues of Weird Detective. That's something that we could easily talk about for our upcoming Halloween horror show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, so.
Yeah, but the trade will be out on February 8th. And then the only other thing that I have in Dark Horse is on page 71, and this is the next in the EC Archives collection, and this is Valor. It collects all 5 issues of Valor. And for those who know anything about EC Comics history, Valor was one of the titles that was part of EC's New Direction line, which began in 1955 as a reaction to EC Comics not being able to get any traction after the Comics Code. So Valor was not around for long. It dealt with stories in time periods like in like Arthurian times during the French Revolution. It didn't last for very long. So if you're a completist with the EC archives that now Dark Horse has, then you definitely want to get this. But if you're wanting the kind of classic EC story that ended them getting them in trouble, unfortunately, then this may not be the volume for you.
Yeah, all the New Direction, I'm not a fan of the New Direction comics at all, except as historical artifacts,
right?
You know, of EC's attempt at survival outside of Mad Magazine, but to be fair, they do have a lot of great art in them. You know,
this one
has, you know, the usual EC greats like Craig Steen, Ingalls, Wally Wood, Al Williamson, Joe Orlando, Reed Crandall, George Evans, and so on. So, it'll be pretty.
Yeah. But maybe not the best kind of storytelling that you get from EC.
Well, yeah, definitely not the stuff that's innovative in both style and content that the horror and crime stories that EC
pushes boundaries, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some other titles from that New Direction line? I know there was a psychological or a series devoted to like psychology.
Yeah, there's Psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
I think there's a pirate one.
Okay.
What else? I can't remember now. I have some on my shelf. I have to go look.
Yeah. And see, the sad thing is, at this time, people weren't clamoring for things like comics about pirates or on Psychoanalysis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the genre of Psychoanalysis in comics is not terribly deep.
No. Now, from the Jungian standpoint, perhaps.
Yes.
Yes.
But not literal acts of psychoanalysis on the page.
No, although, you know, Alfred Adler, I think he was hot into comics for a while.
Okay. I've got nothing else for a long time, so.
Okay. Well, I don't have that much in DC Vertigo. Nothing in DC proper. And the only things in Vertigo, I guess I want to mention more in passing. On page 142, we have the next volume of Hellblazer, because, you know, now, you know, Vertigo is putting out these uniform volumes of Hellblazer comics. And so now we're up to 15. Yeah, with the Azzarello stuff.
It's the Brian Azzarello run, which is bleak period in John Constantine's career.
Right.
Where Constantine comes to America, he gets blown by a dog. Whatever.
Yeah, but again, if you're a completist, you know, then that's something that you'll want to pick up.
Yeah. It honestly, though, it lifts right out. Like, you could read to the end of Warren Ellis's run, pick up when Mike Carey begins, and you're good.
Mm. Well, maybe something a little more interesting is a few pages later on 145, again from Vertigo, and this is the second volume of Unfollow.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there's Unfollow that collects issues 7 through 12. Are you still reading this?
No, I'm kind of behind on that. I was keeping up with it for a while, but then, you know, as usually happens, I miss an issue, then I miss another issue, and then I think to myself, and sometimes maybe unconsciously, I'll wait for the trade.
Yeah, well, now that Sheriff of Babylon's over, this is the only Vertigo series I'm still reading on a monthly basis, but I'm sticking with it. Mm-hmm. But I keep expecting every previews that we're going to get announced the final issue. But if they've got volume 2 does 7 through 12 and issue 14 is solicited here, I'm expecting, well, at least it's going to go to issue 18. I doubt it's going to go to issue 140, which would then, you know, have everybody in everybody eventually dead who's a part of the group of 140.
Right.
Or 139, I guess. But anyway, so I'm always expecting the clock to run out on Unfollow, even though it's a series I really like.
But that's all I have in Vertigo DC.
Yeah.
And then we get to IDW. Where do you begin, if anywhere, in IDW?
Oh, I begin right away on page 154.
Okay. I was going to ask if you're a Lock and Key fan.
Well, I have all the Lock and Key collections, but I have to say I've not read them all. Mm-hmm. I'm still working my way through them, and it's actually been a while and I need to get back to it. But I'm glad to see Lock and Key come back. It looks like this is a 32 page one shot. Or a 24-page story, I guess, 32-page comic, but not a new series or anything like that.
Right.
But any Lock and Key is good.
Yeah. And then, actually, if you turn the page to 155, they have a deluxe hardcover edition of this single issue.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, if you're a really big Lock and Key fan, then this may be for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I go next in IDW to page 177.
Yeah, so do I. Let's see. Let me get there. Is this the Love is Love?
Love is Love.
Which is also solicited under DC, but we can focus on it.
And right. Well, this is a full page solicit. In DC, it was just almost an aside.
Yeah. But this is a fundraiser for the lives of victims and survivors of the horrible mass shooting in Florida at a gay club.
In June,
In Orlando, and it's got a great lineup of creators: Phil Jimenez, Kat Stagg, Steve Orlando, Dennis Cohen, Paul Dini, Ming Doyle, Brian Bendis, Emily Vicelli, Ed Luch, Kieran Gillen, Emma Huboy, I don't know how to say that, I'm sorry, and among others. And it's $9.99 for 144 pages, so not only is it for a good cause, but it's, you know, reasonably priced.
Right. And I guess the proceeds will go to the Equality Florida Institute.
Yes,
as part of that. So, yeah, this is interesting. And in the solicit, it says, the comic book industry comes together to honor those killed in Orlando this year. From IDW Publishing, with assistance from DC Entertainment, this oversized comic contains moving and heartfelt material. And then it goes on. So I'm wondering, I mean, this is a book from IDW, but it says with assistance from DC. And I'm wondering what DC is doing in terms of its assistance. Because, you know, as we mentioned, it was mentioned briefly, and you can almost easily skip over it in the DC section. But I'm just curious about the arrangement they have going on here.
My suspicion is that DC has allowed the creators to use their characters in it.
Probably so, yeah, because we can look on the cover and we can see there is a little Wonder Woman figure.
Yeah.
At least that you can make out.
And I think the main figure at the front of this parade is supposed to be Wonder Woman in one of her outfits.
Really? But
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it may be something more akin to, what is the figure, the revolutionary figure for the French Revolution?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe I'm off there, but. But yeah, this is definitely something worth picking up. And if we turn the page and look at 178, there is another ongoing series, or at least series or miniseries, from Top Shelf. And they don't do that often. Now, you know, we talked about Superfuckers Forever on the show a few weeks ago. And in fact, that also is solicited on the same page, issue number 5 of 5. But another ongoing, I guess, is Gumballs number 1. And this is by Aaron Nations. I'm not familiar with the work of Aaron Nations. Are you?
No, but it says he's a Portland cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be his one-person anthology comic. So it looks like it's not going to be like a recurring series, but a series of short stories.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these look to be autobiographical in nature.
Right.
And including Aaron's experience with gender transition.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great. I think, you know, this, you know, other than, I mean, do we really have any series right now, that ongoing series that are autobiographical in nature in these short vignettes, kind of the way that, say, American Splendor was?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, I can't think of any either. I mean, there's certainly, you know, kind of regular anthology, single creator series that are ongoing, though infrequently published, like Optic Nerve.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anything that kind of fits into this, you know, fits into the, you know, the Yummy Fur or Peep Show or American Splendor model.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what this is about. And unlike Superfuckers, there's no listing as to whether or not this is a miniseries. So it could be ongoing, open-ended mm-hmm. ongoing.
Yeah, I hope it is. Because again, that could fill a gap or, mm-hmm. you know, some a tradition that used to be much more prevalent in the 90s than it is today.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something that you and I have pointed out every now and again on this show that we really do miss those kind of comics.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Good for Gumballs.
Yeah. And I mean, there's things like, you know, like King Cat comics, John Porcellino does. And many, there are a lot of mini comics that are still kind of continuing that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a slightly different.
Right. I mean, this is from a premier publisher.
Sure.
Yeah. Where next do you go in IDW?
I jump to Yo Books on 189. So if you got anything before that, go ahead.
Yeah. One thing before 189, and this is on page 182. I guess this may be part of a series, IDW's 100 Page Wonders. And this is, I guess, pulling together John Burns's Cold War. And I know this came out a number of years ago, originally. I didn't read it, but now you can get, I guess, the entire story here, the Democles Contract, in one 100-page volume.
Yep. Well, I read the first issue of that.
You weren't impressed?
I'm feeling really negative on this episode, but I honestly, when I first read it, I thought it was a parody.
Really?
And okay. Apparently it's not.
Okay. Well, now I'm really curious.
So there you go. But the first issue is, I think, if I remember it right, is almost completely silent, which I did think was an interesting technique. Anyway. Okay.
So next we go to 189 in the Yo Book section.
Yeah, and so in addition to the usual goodness that is Haunted Horror, we've got another volume of the Chilling Archives of Horror Comics, and this is Jay Disbrow's Monster Invasion. More pre-code horror, this time from Jay Disbrow, who wrote and drew stories for series like Dark Mysteries, Ghostly Weird Tales, Spook, and Startling Terror Tales. And the solicit compares him to Basil Wolverton.
Mm.
We, of course, you know, we're on the hook for whatever Craig Yeo does.
Yeah. You know, I haven't told you this yet, but the other day I was corresponding with Craig about something else, and he mentioned this book, and he said that since Disbrow is one of the few remaining old-timers in comics, yeah, that we should get him on the show.
I'd love that.
Yeah, and this book comes out in January, so I think around the middle of January, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get lucky through Craig and get an interview with Disbrow.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like that.
So anything else in IDW for you?
No, I'd go to Image next.
Yep. And, you know, we mentioned toward the top of the show that there just didn't seem to be as much material in the October previews catalog. And I have to say, part of that feeling, for me at least, comes from not being overly impressed by the offerings in Image this month.
Okay. The first one that's mentioned on 192, Motor Crush. I am definitely looking forward to that. By the Batgirl team of Brendan Fletcher, Cameron Stewart, and Babs Tarr, who are all co-writing, and then Babs and Cameron are doing the art. So, yeah, this has been teased for a while since this team left Batgirl a while ago. So I'm definitely on board for Motor Crush.
Yeah, see, I want to check this out, but the reason I want to check it out is for the creative team more than it is for the series premise, because mm-hmm. I read the solicit, I'm looking at the, you know, sample pages that we have in the catalog, and I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, I could read it and be completely blown away. It's just the way that things are being set up now in terms of the story, I could take it or leave it. The mm-hmm. creative team interests me. So, I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's the reason why I will definitely check out this first issue. But again, I don't feel blown away as I am by many solicits in image sections.
Well, this book deals with a worldwide motorcycle racing league and rival motorcycle gangs and so on. And one of the, I think, strengths of Babs Tar's work on Batgirl was the really kind of dynamic chase scenes she would do with mm-hmm. Batgirl on a motorcycle. So this looks like it's also in addition to, you know, reuniting a team that made a really good comic last year, is also playing to her strengths as an artist.
Mm.
We do get some of that from the preview pages.
Yeah. And you know, what would really impress me is you mentioned motorcycles. I pick this up and what is his name from the Beach movies? Von Zipper. He plays a cameo role.
Okay. The futuristic
Von Zipper. or like maybe his grandson.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we get to page 194, and I think this is the only other number one issue in the image section this month. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and this is Rockstars, written by Joe Harris with art by Megan Hutchinson. I guess. Again, I mean, I'm not... I'll take a look at it, I'll check it out, but... I'm not bowled away, let's say.
Right. And I really need to, I guess, see the first issue too, because even the preview art looks a little looks too busy for me.
Busy, yes. Very much so.
But, you know, the plot about, you know, at
groupie murders 70s.
Yeah, and rock bands, demonic possession, and so on. That could be interesting.
Could be interesting, but given the way that this solicit is packed in terms mm-hmm. of its premise, I'm wondering if it'll be as chaotic as the art samples we get.
Yeah,
on page 195.
Right. I'm interested in giving it a try at least with that first issue.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to sound, you know, now I'm the one who's sounding negative. You know, I don't want to be negative on these, or too negative on these two mm-hmm. image number ones in the October catalog. It's just that, okay, that's fine. I'll check them out.
But, yeah, I didn't even mark that one down because I was so on the fence about it. Mm. I go to 225.
Ah, me too.
And then, so we have another literary adaptation. Yeah.
I was going to say, as if Moby Dick wasn't enough.
Yeah, and this is an adaptation of Beowulf by Santiago Garcia and David Rubin. Mm-hmm. And now Beowulf is a classic work of literature that has not been excessively adapted in the way that, say, Moby Dick has.
Right.
Though I'm a fan of the 1970s DC comic, which was barely an adaptation of Beowulf, more so just a character named Beowulf in a kind of Conan-y sword and sorcery world. But this is looking like it's going to be a straight adaptation.
Yeah.
It says it faithfully follows the original story for a new version that is neither revisionist nor postmodern, but captures the tone and important details of the poem. And so that's what I'm curious about, you know, because one of the things that I always loved about Seamus Haney's translation of Beowulf was the how he really got the kind of visceral violence and, you know, sensory details of the story in his language. And though this is a different translation, this isn't using Haney's translation, it sounds like Garcia and Rubin have a similar approach to it, to get into the gritty details of the poem.
So this is 208 pages. It's a hardcover. So yeah, I'll definitely want to check this out. Now, I'd heard about this recently. I know that last month, Edward and I, for our Eurocomic show, we looked at recent Spanish adaptation or recent Spanish translations, and one of those was the really good anthology that Garcia edits called Spanish Fever, and Rubin even has a piece. I think it's the very last contribution to that anthology, and I think I had heard it along with that. And then I think both Garcia and Rubin were part of SPX. I mean, I didn't see them or anything like that, but this was mentioned there as well. So now it's actualized.
I next go to 229.
Yeah, same here.
And just to mention that Howard Chaykin's Midnight of the Soul is getting collected, which is good. You know, glad we're getting that. If you want, you can also get Black Hiss 2 is being resolicited.
Were you going to say not Black Kiss 1?
I don't know what the print status of Black Kiss 1 is, but
it's out of print, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think so.
But our friend Brandon Costello, who's working on a book on Howard Chaykin, referred to me recently as the only other academic he knows who's read Black Kiss 2. So
I told Black Kiss 2.
There you go. Now there's two of us, but yeah. I told him that you know, when I die, I want him to, you know, say that at my funeral.
And also, hey, has he read the Triple Xmas special?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because there's that, which, again, nothing to write home about, but.
I'm looking forward to Brandon's book about Chaykin. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then on the next page is Scooter Girl, which is Continuing Images reprinting of China Clugston Flores's previously published work.
Now, this is going to be in color. And I checked it out. The original series came out from Oni.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this is coming out, this volume from Image. So that's cool.
Yeah, and these along with, you know, Blue Monday are really cool looking books. Like the vibe and the feel of her work. So it's definitely worth getting. Then that's all I have in Image. So if you have anything else.
No, that's all that I have. I do not have anything until we get to the back half of the catalog. And for me, beginning on page 264, do you have anything before then?
Nope, that's where I hit too. So go ahead.
Under the alternative comics section, there are a few titles listed. I know we've mentioned Reich, or the reprints of Reich, but issue number 3 is solicited. Terra Flats by Jason Fisher number 2 is also solicited. But here's one from Pete Toms. It's called Daddy's Weekend. It's a one-shot. And, you know, have you been familiar with Toms' work?
No, I haven't.
You know, I wasn't either, but apparently his study group webcomic On Hiatus was nominated a couple of years ago for Ignatz for the Outstanding Online Comic category. And those are still available. I think that they're in three installments, if I'm not mistaken, that you can still see on Study Group. But this is different. It says PTOMS deftly combines the driest of dry humor and off-the-rails absurdity in this full-color tale of conspiracy theories, mental illness, text messages, and spending quality time with one's family. Okay, so without that last part, quality time with one's family, I was thinking Donald Trump.
Okay.
There you go, the political again.
Yeah, so I'm sure he defines quality time with his family a bit differently than the rest of us too. Right. I had that one marked too, and it's a one shot, 32 pages for $6. That's definitely worth checking out.
Right. Yeah, and this is, now we said it's in the alternative comic section, but this is coming out from Hick and Hawk, and that's part of the Alternative Comics Co-op.
Yeah, that's right. And meanwhile, I'm continuing to order Reich, though the first issue hasn't come out yet. But I'm really curious about seeing how that goes. And I'm on board for getting all 12 issues of that.
Yep. And I go next to page 289.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead.
Okay. Under Big Planet Retrofit?
Well, I actually go to Big Finish first.
Okay.
Let me now get to that page. Oops, I blew right past it in scrolling.
Both of us are looking at PDFs of the previews catalog, which sometimes becomes a little difficult to wield.
Yep. And Big Finish, which is not a publisher I'm familiar with, that seems to primarily focus on the British TV series The Avengers, according to what we see here, is putting out a collection of the Avengers that is Steed and Mrs. Peel comic strip that ran in a British magazine called Diana. I don't know if it was an all Diana Rigg magazine, and if it was, where can I find it? basically this series ran for 25 issues, so Big Finish is reprinting those comics, which sounds neat. And then they're also releasing audio recordings of adaptations of those of those comic strips. So,
and that's interesting, an audio adaptation of comic strips.
Right. So anyway, I definitely want to take a look at that collection, because those, you know, when I was a huge Avengers fan as a kid, even, you know, always heard about that there were British comics of it, but feared that I'd never get to see them because they weren't in the United States when I was a kid. So there you go. But Big Planet Retrofit also.
Yes, they are soliciting this month Our Mother, which is a book from Luke Howard. Luke Howard earlier this year had an Ad House book, Talk Dirty to Me. Now he has this publication, 40-page book from Retrofit Big Planet. It says, a comedy about growing up with a parent who has an anxiety disorder. Luke Howard mixes genres to tell an utterly open personal reflection about his childhood and his relationship with his mother, jumping between noir, giant robots, fantasy adventure, and even scientific animal research. Luke brings a very intimate story to life with humor and cartooning experimentation.
Yeah, I like. I think that sounds interesting, and you know, again, another great book from Big Planet Retrofit.
Exactly, and another reason why I'm definitely going to check this out, because I like the work of Luke Howard anyhow.
Yeah,
you know, the aforementioned Talk Dirty to Me, but just recently, he and I were having fun at the expense of Dakota McFadzine. Because Dakota is one of the people that I interviewed at SPX. And so when I put that episode up with his brief interview, Luke mentioned something, and I can't remember how he worded it, but he was kind of like poking fun at Dakota when I tweeted out. And then I responded in a humorous way, and then Dakota caught on, and I don't know, it was – light humorous, good-natured ribbing.
Huh. Well, Luke Howard is going to be at the Cartoons Crossroad Columbus.
Oh, cool.
So I definitely had him on my list of people I wanted to grab something from. I feel like I'm going to spend a lot of money when I'm there. Just a heads up. I'm going to be broke.
Yeah, you're going to feel like I did coming back from SBX.
Oh, well, I'm sure. I'm trying to kind of go light on the stuff that I'm bringing in terms of stuff to get signed. But that's in and of itself is hard to narrow down.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things I kept in mind this year when I went to SPX. Unlike last year, I didn't take near the number of things to have signed just because I didn't want to have to deal with the weight of the books and checking my bags.
Right, right.
So, okay, but back to the catalog. I go next to Boom Studios. Do you have anything before that?
No. In fact, I don't have anything between now and Fantagraphics. So whatever you've got, it's all yours.
Okay. So on page 297 in the Boom Studio section, we have Klaus and the Witch of Winter. This is the Klaus from Grant Morrison and Dan Mora. I don't know, have you read any of the Klaus that's going to be collected? I think maybe coming out next month in a nice hardcover edition.
I read the first issue.
Yeah.
I didn't keep up with it. And this is a 40-page... one shot,
right,
of a follow-up story.
Yeah, so it looks really good. Although, you know, I hate when they do this because it's a one shot and it says this in the description, but yet with the title it says Klaus and the Witch of Winter number one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, don't give it a number one designation, but maybe that's something that they do as a matter of policy.
Okay.
But then another thing in the Boom Studio section, and this is an Archaea book, is on page 299, and this is volume 5 of The Killer. And this is the final Killer volume. This is the series written by Matz and illustrated by Luke Jacobman. I don't know if you're a fan of The Killer series, but... I think up until this volume, which will be coming out in February, we were up to, I guess, you could get the killer in, I guess, four different volumes. But then Archaea also had omnibus editions. So there's Omnibus Volume 1 and Omnibus Volume 2. And if you get Killer Volume 5 with the two omnibi, then you have the complete run of the killer.
Hmm. That's interesting. No, I've never read it, but, you know, we did, we've talked about Matz,
mm-hmm.
and we'll probably talk about him again in the near future.
Right.
But this is not a series I followed, but I'm really curious about it.
Yeah, it's good. Although I'm a little surprised that they're not soliciting the other killer books on this page.
I'm surprised, too.
Yeah, because they're still in print.
Okay, that's good to know.
And then... The other thing I have, you say you have something in Fantagraphics. In the Dynamite section, this is on page 328. This is an adaptation of the prose novel Grave Surprise. This is by Charlene Harris. Now, have you heard of that book?
Well, I mean, Charlene, is this in the Suki Stackhouse True Blood universe, or is it separate?
I don't know, because I'm not familiar with Charlene Harris, her novels, but it looks interesting. I looked it up. I think this was a 2006 novel.
Okay.
But this is, I guess, a comics adaptation of that. So, you know, if you're a fan of this novelist, then you may want to check this out.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing before Fantagraphics is worth mentioning, nothing new in Drawn and Quarterly.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah. So again, that kind of adds to this feeling of thinness, sure, relatively speaking, in the October Previews catalog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Fantagraphics.
Okay. That's a long trip. So, and even in Fantagraphics feels a little thin. I don't know if there's a lot in here. I don't think there's anything in here that I'm going to actually get. But I might get the Life and Legend of Wallace Wood Volume 1, which is solicited here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it says a generously illustrated biographical portrait of one of the most mythic figures of American cartooning. So this was previously announced as a single volume from Fantagraphics, but now they're breaking it up into two books. So I thought I had seen it before.
Right. Now, this first volume is 232 pages, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, had this been just one volume, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and we have right under that another book in their complete Creepax series. Mm-hmm. This one is The Time Eater and Other Stories. I did not get the earlier collection. It's just out of my price range.
Right. $75 bucks for each of these books.
Yeah, which I'm sure, you know, is worth it. Wonderful art, but...
Yeah.
I'm not made of money.
There you go. Yeah. And I don't know, on the next page, they're continuing, Fantagraphics is continuing its... collections of VCs,
yeah.
So The Million Year Picnic and Other Stories by Will Elder, and then also the Pogo collections continue, the Complete Syndicated Comic Strips Volume 4. Mm-hmm. Plus you can also get Volumes 3 and 4 in a nice slip case set. So $45 for Volume 4 or $75 for Volumes 3 and 4.
Mm. So that's now getting
more than that, $15
savings. Yeah. Now, you know, getting back to that book, the next one in the EC Artist Library, The Million Year Picnic and Other Stories. The thing that's notable about this is that this includes Elder stories from Panic, which, again, getting back to EC history, you know, Panic was EC's attempt to try to duplicate the success of Mad.
That's right.
Yeah. I've been getting these EC Artist Library volumes, and so I'll definitely pick that one up. But, you know, one that you skipped over on the previous page in Fantagraphics is Ed Luce's Wovable Oaf, Blood and Metal.
Okay.
Did you read the first Wovable Oaf?
No.
Okay. It was interesting. I didn't read it when it first came out, but then it was nominated for an Ignatz Award, and so I thought, oh, okay, I got to check it out. And it's fun.
Okay.
And, you know, they're describing Wovable Oaf, or at least this book, as it says it recalls Scott Pilgrim, Lovin' Rockets, and Archie, which I can see all of that. But I think it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed Luce's Wovable Oaf. In fact, we even mentioned Luce earlier with the Love is Love collection.
That's right.
Yeah. And then that's all, I guess, we have in Fantagraphics.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go after that?
354.
Okay. Under Firefly Books?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So I paused at this book for a moment. The Attack... By Glenn Chaperon, Loic Dauvier, and Yasmina Kadra. And this is a graphic novel about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And not it looks like an autobiography, but a fictional work that takes place within it, where... Amin Jafari, an Israeli surgeon of Palestinian origin, attempts to save the casualties of a suicide bombing. But he finds out later that the suicide bomber was his wife. And so that sparks the plot of this story. So I think that's a fascinating premise for a work of you know, dealing with a very complicated political situation and revealing a character who is kind of in between these two worlds.
Now, have you heard of Firefly books before?
No.
I have not either, and I'm like you, the attack, both the cover image and then when I read the solicit underneath, they definitely caught my attention. But it's right next to another solicit, Night of the Living Dead, Volume 1, Sins of the Father. Now, you know, nothing against Night of the Living Dead, but when I saw the Night of the Living Dead under Firefly Books, I thought, okay, I don't know what Firefly Books is. Is it one of these publishers that takes, you know, licensed property and does something with it? I would have thought so if we just had that solicit of Night of the Living Dead. But here we have the attack, which does seem, you know, dramatically different in tone from the other. But yeah, I definitely want to check out the attack. And, you know, right under that is First, Second. And again, like Drawn in Quarterly, we don't have anything new. The one title that is listed here, Foiled, actually, there's Foiled and then Curses Foiled Again. I mean, these are reprints or previous solicits. I know the Foiled came out in 2010. So, again, we're looking at maybe a brief post-holiday lull.
So you can get caught up on your Drawn in Quarterly and First, Second reading.
That's right.
Before the new stuff comes out. Then I don't have anything until 365.
Okay, what do you have on 365?
I actually didn't write down the publisher, so this is Humanoids, under Humanoids.
Okay.
And the one thing I did want to mention under Humanoids, there's several things here, but the main thing that stood out to me was the new volume of Barbarella comics, adapted by Kelly Sue DeConnick. And I'm glad to see this here because the previous Humanoids collections of Barbarella comics that Kelly Sue translated went out of print very quickly, and so they're a little expensive right now to find them. So I'm glad that we're going to see a new one, and this is going to be the first of two volumes.
Right. In fact, that's something that Edward and I have thought we may want to discuss on an upcoming Eurocomic series, as well as the book right beside it on that page, and that is Laurent Rullière and Stanislav's By the Numbers. So, yeah, Humanoids does a lot of really good things, but usually when you see their section, they're like Drawn in Quarterly. They list new things, like two or three, maybe four new titles, but then the rest of their section are just resolicits.
Right. Yeah. So,
like Lou Cal, Miss, Better Living Through Crime, things of that sort.
Yep.
But definitely, the new Barbarella and By the Numbers.
Yes.
I'm on board for. If we go a couple of pages later, then I don't necessarily have a particular title that I'd like to highlight, but and this is on page 367. It's a publisher. I don't think we've mentioned this publisher on a preview show before, but that's Iron Circus Comics.
Right.
And the reason I mention this is when I was at SBX, I met the publisher of Iron Circus, Spike Trotman, who was very friendly and extremely enthusiastic. And, you know, I had known about some of their collections, like Smut Peddler and their horror anthology, The Sleep of Reason, which is actually resolicited here. But I didn't know that they were Iron Circus Comics until I met Spike and spoke with her for the show, and she was talking about everything that they've done. So this is one that I will now be paying much more attention to in the monthly previews.
Yeah, and well, their primary new book is Shadow Eyes, Volume 1 by Sophie Campbell, and that that I had marked anyway as something something worth noting. So I like Sophie Campbell's work.
So yeah, Iron Circus Comics. I go next to Little Brown on page 378. Do you have anything before
that? No, I go there too, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me get there first. And this is, this is someone that you and I spoke with on the Comics Alternative back in very early 2014, Isabel Greenberg. And her new book from Little Brown is 100 Nights of Hero.
Yeah. Now, I'm drawing a blank on the title of her previous book that we did talk to her about.
Okay. So, I look this up because now I'm embarrassed. You ask me and I can't remember. Encyclopedia of Early Earth.
Yeah. The Encyclopedia of Early Earth. I'm wondering if this book is going to come out in December or January. And the reason why I'm wondering that is that because the Encyclopedia Early Earth came out late in the year that it was published.
Yes. December, and, 3rd of 2013.
Yeah. And it kind of took people by surprise. It didn't probably end up making as many, you know, end of the year lists as it should have because it arrived so late. But for me, it was one of the best books of that year. So I'm wondering if they're duplicating the publishing strategy of putting out an Isabel Greenberg book at the end of the year, or if it's coming out in January, get it out at the beginning of the year and have it build up its momentum throughout the year.
Actually, it's the former. I just looked on Amazon, and the pub date, again, according to Amazon, of 100 Nights of Hero is December 6th.
Okay, so there you go. Same, almost the same exact time.
Exactly, because Encyclopedia of Early Earth was released on December 3rd of 2013.
Yeah, so I guess that means reserve a spot on your top 10 list of 2016 for an Isabel Greenberg book that's coming out that looks really great.
That's right. Or if you're someone who does, you know, best of lists or top 10 lists like we do for the Comics Alternative, then do what we do in the Comics Alternative and wait till the tail end of the year before you finalize the list. And, you know, we've mentioned that before on this show, that unlike a lot of best of lists, we truly do mean the best of the entire year, because sometimes, you know, you and I, we wait to the very last minute before we finalize our lists.
Yep.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
And this is, yeah, this is an interesting take on, the Arabian Nights narrative. It says, in the empire of Migdal Babel, Cherry is married to Jerome, a wicked man, who makes a diabolical wager with his friend Manfred. If Manfred can seduce Cherry in 100 nights, he can have his castle and Cherry. But what Jerome doesn't know is that Cherry is in love with her maid, Hero. The two women hatch a plan. Hero, a member of the League of Secret Storytellers, will distract Manfred by regaling him with a mesmerizing tale each night for 100 nights, keeping him at bay. So I'm really interested in what she does with the whole theme of storytelling, first and foremost. But I'm looking forward to this, because outside of maybe a short piece here or there, this is the only other book that Greenberg has done since the Encyclopedia of Early Earth.
That's right, and it sounds like it's in keeping with that work in terms of her kind of world building, with these kind of fantastic elements to them, and that was one of the things I liked the most about Encyclopedia of Early Earth.
Definitely. I go next to No Brow on page 381.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is SP4RX. That's the title, by Ren McDonald.
Or Sparks.
Sparks. but do you want to call it Sparks or SP4RX?
I'm going to call it Sparks.
Okay, we'll call it Sparks. I thought, you know, the numbers and letters were more in keeping with what this is about.
You've got one syllable, or you've got saying five different letters, We just don't have time for that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sparks, a young hacker who lives off the grid, hacks into corporations and sells stolen data to wealthy buyers on the black market. Just your average thief. Mega corporation Structus Industries introduces a welfare program called the ELPIS program, which allows the working class to apply for cybernetic implants to make workers more efficient. On the surface, it seems like a program to empower the poor and allow them to rise to the ranks of the elite, but Spark soon discovers that all is not as it seems. Mm, so,
okay.
Yeah, interesting premise.
It never is as it seems.
But what if it was? You know?
that would be a great... I would buy that book that would go for that. Mm. You know, solicit. He thinks it's... everything is good, and it turns out everything is as it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I go to Oni.
Okay. I wonder if you're going to highlight what I'm thinking of.
On page 385...
Yes.
The Oh Joy Sex Toy Coloring Book. Yeah. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But okay. I think that looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I'll say is too bad this is not available before Christmas.
Yeah, it's not available till February, but it is available in time for Valentine's Day.
That's right.
We've talked about Erica Moen and Matthew Nolan's Oh Joy Sex Toy before. I think this is the perfect idea. I can imagine this is, I don't know. I distinctly remember there being when I was a kid, and this is going to be, I don't know if this is going to be gross or not, but I remember as a kid that there was a Joy of Sex coloring book, I think.
Really?
I mean, there was the book, The Joy of Sex, and I think there was a coloring book. I may be wrong. I may be mixing two things up, but...
You're getting reality mixed up with your dreams.
Yeah, there we go. there were adult coloring books back then, though, in the 70s, but they were more like this Oh Joy Sex Toy coloring book than what we're calling adult coloring books today.
So there you go. You know, if you want to sit down and color with your loved one on Valentine's Day, then definitely pick up a copy of Erica Moen and Matthew Nolan's Old Joy Sex Toy Coloring Book.
There you go. And I go to 391.
Okay.
And, you know, we've lately started taking a stop by PS Art Books anyway with their collections of pre-code classics, but this one really stood out to me on 391 because it is it collects three different series: pre-code classics, Space Buster, Space Patrol, and Nightmare. So each of these series only lasted two issues, so we get all six of those three complete series in one volume, with art by Murphy Anderson, among others. And one of the things that I like about that is that, you know, there are tons of these 1950s publishers or comics in which publishers only maybe put out one or two issues of the series. And so the chances of seeing those things collected, I always thought was pretty slim because, they wouldn't collect a one or two issue series. So this is smart of PS Art Books to put multiple series that have similar themes or content together.
Right. So, yeah, I don't have any PS Art Books books. Mm-hmm. I wish I did, but, I mean, again, it would break the bank.
Yeah.
Look like great quality books, though, and Rainer Koschnick, a devoted listener to the show, is a big fan of these.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't have anything until Valiant. So
same thing.
Okay.
I go next to what, 428.
Yeah. And that is that Valiant has the third in miniseries in the Divinity series, Divinity number 3, volume 3 by Matt Kent and Trevor Harrison. And I've thought the first two Divinity miniseries were among the best stuff that that Valiant has put out. So I'm glad to see the trilogy. I guess maybe it's a trilogy, maybe it'll keep going beyond this, but I'm glad to see this continuing.
Yeah, and from what I can tell here, this Divinity is part of a Valiant event, the Stalinverse.
Yeah.
Because on that next page, is it the next page or two pages later, we have Comrade Bloodshot.
Commander.
Commander Bloodshot. Commander with a K.
Yeah.
As part of the Divinity 3 Stalinverse.
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah, so I'm guessing they'll do with this like they did with the Book of Death and 4001 AD, where there'll be the main series, plus there'll be a series of 4 one-shots coming out each month with that features those particular characters, like their main Valiant characters in this particular situation, which from the looks of things, this involves the other astronaut from the ill-fated mission that led to Divinity being created. I can't remember her name, but her remaking the universe as the Stalinverse, and then we see what happens to the Valiant universe under basically a Soviet dominated world.
Right.
So I like that. I kind of like that Valiant does those limited crossovers like that, where there are events that bring together characters or concepts from around the Valiant universe, but they don't require you to have every single issue of every single comic that they put out in order to follow the story.
Right.
The way the other, big superhero publishers work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And both DC and Marvel do this, but I think Marvel's much more notorious for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I'm done in the comics section proper.
Okay. I have I think about 2 more publishers that I would like to highlight. On page 439 under Vertical Comics, there is the second volume of Blame Master Edition. This is by Tsumoto Nihai, and Shay and I are probably going to discuss the first volume of Blame in an upcoming episode of the manga series. So I don't have that copy yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, so I'm probably going to be on board for volume 2. But also on that page is a book or another volume in a series that Shay and I have talked about on the show before, and that is Mysterious Girlfriend X, which is a really weird comic, but I like it well enough to where I want to continue with it. So the fourth volume of that is coming out. And one of the things that's so weird about Mysterious Girlfriend X is that it involves quite a bit of slobber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you have people who connect through the Mysterious Girlfriend's drool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. But also weird and also manga is a couple pages later in the Viz Media section. I'm really excited about this. On page 441, we have another, I guess, a deluxe edition of a title from Junji Ito. And this is Tomi.
Mm-hmm.
Says Tomi is a femme fatale with long black hair and a beauty mark just under her left eye. She can seduce nearly any man and drive them to murder as well, even though the victim is often Tomi herself. While one lover seeks to keep her for himself, another grows terrified of the immortal succubus. But soon they realize that no matter how many times they kill her, the world will never be free of Tomi. And okay, now the solicit. Okay, it may sound a little spooky, but you have to look at the sample art on 441. I mean, it is typical freaky Ito.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things I like about Ito's work is that it is more contained than a lot of other manga series. So,
right.
I liked Uzumaki. I haven't read Gio or Gyo. And but I would read. I'll read Tomy definitely, because and it doesn't require me following, you know, 10 or 20 volumes
or more.
of a series.
Yeah. And in fact, both Uzumaki and Gyo are both resolicited, so you can get those deluxe editions.
Yeah. So, but that's nice. I mean, you know, 750 pages is manageable. But man, yeah, I mean, Uzumaki creeped the hell out of me. So,
yeah, yeah, that that's putting it lightly. And then another thing in the Viz Media section of the catalog. This is on page 445. This is going to sound funny. It's the Pokemon Cookbook: Easy and Fun Recipes. Now, I mention this because this is going to be, and I hope she's not downstairs listening, a possible Christmas gift. Is it going to come out in time for the holidays? I hope so.
It says 12/7.
Okay, yes. So I may have to get it through Amazon instead of ordering it through DCB Service to get it in time, because my daughter Zoe is a big Pokemon fan, and she loves to bake. And I previously got her the volume, also from Viz Media, the I got it right here in front of me. It is Bee and Puppy Cat Cookbook, Easy Eats. So it's something very similar. So she, you know, she loves to cook. She loves to bake, especially. So, you know, I take her love for Pokemon and maybe not as much of a love for Bee and Puppy Cat. Bring them together with cooking and baking, and I think this will be a hit for the holidays.
I'm really disappointed that this isn't actually a cookbook for cooking Pokemons. It's actually you're making things that look like Pokemons. Mm. You know, I would guess that a nice, you know, maybe a nice fried Pidgeot, or I don't know, or you know, an execute omelet. Any of those things would be. I would rather try.
Or, you know, they could have a Pokemon Go cookbook where you have to walk around outside and then you can maybe virtually cook depending on what you see in your area.
Yeah. Oh, I'd rather, I'd rather catch and kill Pokemon for eating purposes in the Pokemon Go game, but whatever. To each his own. Okay. So do you have anything else in comics?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, other things in the Viz Media section, definitely worth mentioning, and things that, you know, some of which we've talked on the manga show before. There's, you know, new volumes of Assassination Classroom, Tokyo Ghoul, Master Keaton, and one of my favorites of this year, Goodnight Pun Pun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've mentioned that.
I love Goodnight Pun Pun. I like to say Goodnight Pun Pun.
Yes, you sure do.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I have in the comics section is in Z2.
Okay.
And let me get to that. That is on page 254, I think. Yes. And this is issue number one of Grave Lilies, written by Cullen Bunn with art by George Cambades. It says, in the aftermath of a mysterious explosion that tears through a major metropolitan area, five stasis tubes are discovered. The coffin-like containers are empty, but each is branded with a woman's name. These women have wandered away from the disaster without a scratch and with no memory of who they are. They discover that they each possess a remarkable ability, the ability to charm the masses, the power to control plant life, the gift of healing, the supernatural senses, and unbelievable physical strength. They'll need these powers, too, because they are pursued by sinister agencies that want to apprehend them before they learn the shocking truth of their origins and the destiny that awaits them. And it's interesting, in especially in light of what both Miss and Kevin told us at Heroes Con, with what Z2 Comics is doing with ongoing series now.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have Cullen Bunn, who, you know, has comics all over the place. You know, he's written for the Big Two, he's written for smaller publishers, but now he's doing this series for Z2.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious about that.
But then that's all I have in comics, but I'm sure that you and I in the book section are looking at some of the same titles.
Yeah, I go to 463 and 464.
Mm-hmm.
On 463, there are a couple things, actually. One is 10-cent war comic books propaganda in World War II. This is edited by Tricia Goodnow and James J. Kimball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing then this is a collection of essays.
Right. From University Press of Mississippi.
Okay, yeah. And so that's definitely a book I want to read, because that era of comics, you know, is something I like a lot. And I really, you know, the issues of comics as propaganda, I think, is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one on that page?
Yeah, the 1964 New York Comic Con, The True Story Behind the World's First Comic Convention by Jay Ballman. This is a photo-heavy book, which is, I think, the best kind of thing, that details what went on in that 1964 New York Comic Convention that really kind of set the stage for the Comic Cons we have today.
Mm-hmm.
It's legendary. I've read a lot about it in different places because of, you know, who was there and how it kind of transitioned between the golden age and the silver age, how some young people who were going to become creators went to it, along with golden age creators who didn't quite realize what kind of fans they still had, and so on. So I'm really curious to see what this history looks like.
Yeah. Now, I was looking on Amazon, and this is listed as a publisher, Total Mojo Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of them?
No. They list other things. Another book by Jay Ballman called The Confounding Case of the Comic Collector Killer, which is not a work of nonfiction, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if these, you know, what kind of press that is, but, you know, this is an interesting historical event that I'm curious to see documented.
Yeah, it is. But again, from Amazon, apparently this book came out back in March.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it says March 15th was a pub date.
Well, then maybe I'll just go get it.
Yeah. And if you do get it from Amazon, be sure to do it through our affiliate link. Andy, you can't do
it. Yeah,
I can't do it either, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure you and I are thinking about the same book on page 464.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Crazy. Well, okay, the title in the catalog is Crazy, The Black and White World of George Harriman. But on Amazon, this is listed as Crazy, George Harriman, A Life in Black and White. So it's one or the other. But this is, I think it's a Harper book.
Okay.
And it looks really good. It's 460 pages.
It says 560.
Well, I'm sorry, what did I say?
Four.
400, yeah, 560 pages. Thanks. Yeah.
And it's by Michael Tisserand.
Tisserand.
And I think we've really needed a good George Harriman biography.
You know, right.
Of all the kind of classic comic strip creators, his life is one of the more fascinating because he was African American but passed as white, and that seemed, you know, that there, a lot of scholarship has been done about that fact, mm-hmm. but I don't know if there's really ever been a biography, at least not one of this extent, of Harriman.
Right. So, and one of the reasons why Harriman apparently always had a hat on,
mm-hmm.
in pictures was to hide his hair, which was, I guess, on the kinky side.
Right.
And he was trying to pass.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. There are the picks that Andy and I have from the October previews catalog.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, and again, it didn't seem like near as many as we usually have, but there's still a good many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check those out. And if you do want to get copies of these books, and we hope you do, you should definitely go through our sponsor to get them, and that is Discount Comic Book Service. If you go to dcbservice.com, not right now, but give them a few days to put the October solicits up, you will find some deep, deep discounts on almost all the things that we've talked about today. So definitely get your comics through those guys. And after you do get your comics at dcbservice.com, get in touch with us and let us know what you're going to be reading. If you go to our website, comicsalternative.com, you'll find that you can leave us a voice message through SpeakPipe, which is really easy to do online. Or you can call us the old-fashioned way by picking up the phone and dialing 415-3-COMICS. That's 415-326-6427.
That's right. Or you can get a hold of us by email. We are twoguys@comicsalternative.com. Or you can get a hold of us individually. I'm Andy@comicsalternative.com.
And I'm Derek@comicsalternative.com.
And we also have our Twitter feed, which is @2guyswithPhDs.
That's right. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, Google+, Goodreads, Pinterest, and YouTube. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. You can stream us on Stitcher. You can also find us on TuneIn, on Spotify, and on iHeartRadio. And if you're an Android user, via Google Play Music. But you can find every single one of our podcast episodes, as well as the reviews and the comics-related commentary that we post on our blog, simply by going to our website, comicsalternative.com.
That's right. All the ways to get a hold of us and let us know how we're doing.
That's right. We do like to hear from you, and we like to share your messages with our listeners. So get in touch with us. And also, we recommend that you do what Scott Buffus and Mike McLarty have done, and that is become Patreon supporters of ours.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, so go to www.patreon.com/comicsalternative. We appreciate your support. And until next week, I'm Derek.
And I'm Andy. See ya.